thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
It's been a long time. We took a break, but we're here tonight. Urban Sports Scene back. The Urban Sports Scene Eyes Radio. Will and Ray weren't able to make the show, but I'm here with the guy who was on our last show, Sam. Say what's up to the people, man.
How are you doing, people? You remember me, don't you? Yes.
Really, what's up with the whole accent?
Oh, that's how I speak. Why are you challenging me in my accent?
You know what? You start off with the accent, but eventually, as the show goes on,
I was born with this accent, and I'm keeping it. I don't know. Have no clue.
The whole show, though?
Maybe. I don't know.
See, you just lost it right there.
Huh?
You said maybe. I don't know. It's like it's not even consistent. It's like it's here and it's gone. Like what's gonna happen now?
Consistent. That's the key word.
Consistent.
Like the Giants were inconsistent. Losing to them Redskins.
Oh, we'll get into that. But hey, matter of fact, how was your Monday night?
You know what, man?
Monday night going to Tuesday night.
Hey.
Tuesday morning, excuse me.
Who knew that a win could have such a dramatic effect on my quality of life?
I know. They say happiness.
I slept so good.
They say happiness, you know, extends the quality of, the expansion of life.
Man, who knew that I was so invested in my Redskins that a simple win with bad news, don't even bother me because I'm just on cloud nine. Simply just being, we'll get into that.
Yeah, we'll get into
that. Go ahead.
It's the Urban Sports on the Eyes. Yeah.
I'm just chilling. I'm leaning. What's up?
Make sure you check. Us out on the Eyes Radio Network, which is www.eyesradio.com. Such shows on there are Run TMC with Tom Block and MC Hater, which airs Mondays from 4 to 6 Eastern Standard Time, PM. Clutch Sports Radio, which airs on Thursdays from 8 to 10 PM Eastern Standard Time. And also BT Sports Radio, which airs Tuesday night 7 to 9 PM Eastern Standard Time. And DC Sports Chat, which airs Wednesday nights from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Also, check out our homies, Crowley & Watts Radio Podcast Show at www.crowleyandwatts.com. And we also have our show syndicated on the internet radio station Real People Real Talk Radio. This site is managed by our good friends from Applegee's. Make sure you visit the site www.realpeoplerealtalk.com. Sam, like I said, it's good to be here. It's good to be back. We took a nice little break, but we're here to ready to start our tradition, the pregame. The Nats sign Dan Herring. You know about Dan Herring, the baseball player, pitcher?
You know, I heard about him, but you tell me because you're the you're the expert when it comes to baseball.
Yeah, I know, right? Black dude, African, who actually likes baseball.
Yeah. Who does that?
It's me. I'm a big fan of it. I think it's a great. I think baseball is a sport that a lot of people should.
It used to be a black sport, so you're right.
Yeah, way back in the day, it used to be a black sport. I think this is good for the Nats. It makes the Nats pitching staff more thorough. They were to me off the bat a good pitching staff. Getting Dan Herring is a big coup. We're looking at a guy that used to be an ace. That'll probably be your fourth pitcher in the rotation. I'm a fan of the sign. I think, you know, hopefully, you know, the Nats can figure out some things offensively to make their offense more consistent. But in their five-man rotation, they may have the best rotation in the National League just off that signing alone. If Danny Herring can get back to form what he used to be when he was with the A's and even the Cards for a little bit, definitely with the A's. If he can get back to form, especially pitching in the National League, which doesn't have a DH, yeah, we're looking at potentially probably the best rotation in the National League. In terms of boxing, excuse me, I'm a little distracted a little bit. The Wizards are actually, the Wizards are playing the Miami Heat, and they're up 2 with 53 seconds left.
The world is coming to an end.
Oh, I've been to the Wizards game when the Wizards had the Heat up. I want to say more than, I want to say by 7 with like 30 seconds left and still lost. I'm serious. Like, it's not a game. But down to pregame, Miguel Cotto lost to Austin Trout. You think Miguel Cotto should retire?
Miguel Cotto is what? He's 30-4.
30, yeah, 30.
I'm sorry. No. What is he? He's lost four games. He's lost 40-4. Okay. Yeah. He's 40-4. He's 32 years old. I mean, by that alone, you know, he can still fight, obviously.
I agree.
He gave Mayweather his toughest fight, even by Mayweather's standards, by far his toughest fight. And that was just earlier this year.
Yeah, not too far, right?
So
I went to the fight. I mean, I went to Vegas that fight.
Okay. Yeah, that's what it was in May, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know what happened in this fight, but.
Yeah, I didn't see the fight. For what all boxing experts said, that Austin Trout dominated the fight. Mm-hmm. I'm interested to know what is next for Miguel Cotto. I'm a Cotto fan. I've always been a fan of him. Maybe I'm thinking he should move up and probably try to fight Sergio Martinez. Mm-hmm. I'm leaning more to Chavez Jr. I think that might be a good fight for him. You know, just because he lost to Austin Trout, and Austin Trout's on the come up, but still, you know, he wanted to aim for Manny Pacquiao to get a rematch. This loss hinders that to me. If I'm Pacquiao, I don't want to see Miguel Cotto, because what does he bring to me financially? So I'm looking at Miguel Cotto maybe trying to fight somebody like Chavez Jr., maybe Canelo Alvarez, you know, somebody that, you know, Canelo Alvarez can see Cotto as somebody he can add to his resume. So those are fights I could see in Miguel Cotto's future, but I agree with you. I don't think he should retire. I've heard talks of people say maybe he should retire. It always comes up when a prize fighter people say, okay, he was an awesome fighter, and then it comes to a point now and they hit 30 and they get a loss, and then people always question, oh, should they retire? He shouldn't retire. He still has the tools. He still can beat a lot of boxers out there.
Definitely.
So I'm a fan of Miguel Cotto. Should not retire. But I mentioned Manny Pacquiao, big fight Saturday, part four. Manny Pacquiao versus Juan Manuel Marquez. What do you think? So excuse me, LeBron for three. Oh, the Wizards might win this game.
The Wizards may win this game.
The Heat will be upset.
Okay, it is
past 12. Oh, he's open for layup.
Seconds.
All right, we'll see.
Oh,
we'll update you. Okay, the Wizards are up. Excuse me, 99-101. 10 seconds left. Webster will be going to the line for two. Some people aren't. There haven't been clutch, but this will be interesting. The Wizards win the game. It'll be the Wizards beating the Heat.
RG3 power.
Exactly. And RG3 is at the game.
RG3 power.
I'm telling you.
This dude's amazing.
Back to the topic. Pacquiao Marquez. What do you think is going down?
You know, this should be the fight where Mark. Because, all right, obviously, I saw the most recent fight. To me.
And sorry, Webster's not going to line. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. All right. So you can either say Marquez won the fight, or you can say it was a draw. I didn't think Pacquiao won the last fight. All right, I think they gave the fight to Pacquiao based on reputation. All right, he doesn't have that anymore because the controversy has been overwhelming. Pacquiao's a little bit older, and it's something about Marquez. He just doesn't age, you know, and. I actually think he's going to beat him handily. I'm not going to say a knockout because Pacquiao does have a chin. But I definitely think it's going to be like an easily decided victory for Marquez. This is going to be the beginning of the end of the Pacquiao man. I hate to see it because I wanted to see him and Mayweather. You know what I'm saying? But that's how I see things going. So, you know, you're shaking your head.
I totally disagree. Totally disagree. Pacquiao, if you watch that fight, to me, I did my scorecard. I did each round because I was watching the fight with a bunch of friends. I did each round, and to me, Pacquiao won the fight narrowly. And one round's a lot. You know, a lot of rounds. And the funny thing about it is, people. When I was watching the fight with a bunch of my friends, they were against Pacquiao. So obviously, in a close fight, they're gonna go. And in a close round, they're gonna go with Marquez. You know, so in close rounds, it can go either way. You know what I mean? That's what a close fight is. When it's a close fight, it can go either way.
Yep.
Matter of fact, one of the judges who did the last fight had Marquez up, or had Marquez and having been in a tight fight. But what happened was Marquez thought he won the fight and he took off the last round. So and even Jim Lampley, who was calling the fight, was like, "This is a tactical error. This fight is too close to take a round off." So to me, if I'm a dude, I'm a Pacquiao fan. But if I'm a dude just looking at it as just not being biased, and I hear that, that tells me the fight's too close to take to me to even say that Marquez definitely won the fight. It's a close fight. No, so you're going either way.
I said, well, this is what I think. I think either you give the fight to Marquez or it was a tie.
That's the problem. You can't do that. You can't say either it's a tie or Marquez is the fight. That's because all you're telling me in essence is that the decision isn't wrong.
Some rounds were so close that you know
that
what I'm
means
saying?
If it's some rounds so close, it can go to Pacquiao. That's the point. Like the point, what you're telling me.
No, in a sense that either I win or it was a tie.
No, they weren't like that. They were either, most of those rounds weren't either Marquez wins or was a draw. No, it was either Pacquiao won or Marquez won. That's how some of the rounds were. That's how, and that's what most of the judges were. That's why it's 15-13, 15-13, or 15-13, because each round was too close. They weren't a tie round. They weren't giving out 9-9 rounds. They're giving out 10-9 rounds. So they were saying, okay, the fight's close. I see Pacquiao getting this right. And now, if Pacquiao, my problem with Marquez being complaining about this fight, I mean, part three is that if these dudes, are, if it's a 15-13 round, how can you, a 115 to 113 fight on most of the cards, how can you say you definitely won the fight? You didn't dominate. Like, to me, for you to be pissed, you must dominate. Like, if I'm appalled, saying, like, I definitely won the fight, I better be winning 117, 112, 117, whatever. Like I have to have about a 5-round difference for me to feel that way.
And it wasn't just that fight. It goes back to him feeling like he won the other fights, but you know,
get knocked down a couple of times. I'm sorry, it's hard for you to win a fight. Not to say that he shouldn't have, but you get knocked down. The couple of fights that he
got knocked down. Yeah, you're right about that.
So it's hard to win.
I agree with the first couple of fights that went down like that. Disagree with you on the last one, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, but I'll say Pacquiao, everybody knew Pacquiao when he came into the fight against Marquez the third time, Pacquiao loafed on training. He loafed on training.
We don't want to hear that excuse.
It's the truth, he loafed on training. And he still, and to me, again, it was still a close fight. And like I said, on my card, I had Pacquiao winning. I had Pacquiao winning in a close fight on my card.
Hey.
You know what I mean? And the funny thing about this, whoever... When I did my card, the judges who did their cards, other than one, because it was a split decision, they agreed with me. Two of the three agreed with me. That's how I look at it.
Well, obviously, the bottom line is, they gave the fight, regardless of what I think or anybody, they gave the fight to Pacquiao.
Mm-hmm.
I actually think this is one of the rare rematches. I can't remember the last time we had four fights.
Yeah, four fights.
This is actually, you know, I don't know if you call it a rematch or whatever.
You know,
quad match?
It's a trilogy when you do three.
Yeah, I never know.
I don't even know what this is.
But it actually makes sense.
Well, it does. I mean, to me,
I'm going to be psyched to see it.
I'll say this. I agree. I think if Manny Pacquiao doesn't knock out Marquez, he's not winning the fight. And I don't mean, but I mean,
if it's close, then
I mean that. Yeah. I mean, judges will, even if I think Pacquiao's dominated the fight, I think that judges won't give it to him just because the whole thought process about the Wizards. Excuse me. I'm sorry. Had a breakout from the conversation. The Wizards looks like the
Breaking
Wizards will
news.
Beat the Heat. Breaking news. The Wizards are going to beat the Heat. DC is crazy right now.
What?
I can't believe this.
I think the 0-12 record goes out the window now.
Starting
off 0-12. You can't be clowned. They just beat the Heat.
Oh, my God.
You got a packed house.
I know. It's RG3, man. Black Jesus, man.
Yeah, he really is.
I told anything he goes there, goes. Hey. Any venue he's at, it's like he touches it and the world is happy. And that venue is happy. Okay, it's Black Jesus,
man. You think we can send him to the Middle East, man? Because I'm tired of paying all these extra taxes for oil, man. Dude,
he's a problem, man.
Obama, please.
He's a problem.
I'm sure you're listening right now. You need to go ahead and forget all these diplomats you're sending over there. Send RG3 to the Middle East. Guaranteed peace in Israel.
After the season, though.
Oh, definitely after the season. Come on.
Don't do that after the season.
Of course not.
All right, make sure.
Because he's a Bears fan. He might try to do that just
yeah,
you know,
I know, right?
Just
yeah,
to try to hurt
exactly.
us.
Exactly. I don't know. After the season.
Strike that, Obama.
Yeah,
never
please,
mind.
Please not. Yeah, but I think Marquez won. I think Pacquiao won the fight. I think Pacquiao won the fight, and I think we'll finally get to see Mayweather Pacquiao. Just my opinion.
We'll see. Could be wrong.
Let's move on down to pregame. My Hoyas defeated Texas, I believe. Let me check the score. They defeated Texas 64-41. Watched the game. I'm ecstatic. I love what my Hoyas did. It was at the Jimmy V Classic in Madison Square Garden. So they did it basically in Big East soil, which was left of the Big East because, you know, all these stupid teams are leaving the Big East due to football. But
the ancient East, baby.
Yeah, I know. They ruined the Big East. Syracuse, leave it. I can only imagine UConn probably leaves. Louisville is already out the door. But Georgetown will get better as the season goes on. I'm liking what Otto Porter's looking right now. Otto Porter looks like to me the new Jeff Green. He's doing everything. And like I said, we were missing that Jeff Green to get to the final to make a long run in the tournament. What I see from Otto Porter, I see a guy that has Jeff Green qualities. Hopkins is still continually to improve. You're going to see Smith Rivera improve as the season goes on. Dominguez continues to get better. You're going to see a lot of good things. We have some toughness with Trivick. This Hoyer team is really capable. What they did to Texas, I know we people have what happened with Tennessee 37-36. It's a ridiculous score, but I think this game was a good bounce back. They dominated this game. It should have been worse, but the Hoyas stepped up. So Coach Thompson continues to do a good job, and I'm a big fan. But you got anything to add?
The one thing that when I saw this, their scoring balance. I mean,
they are very balanced.
Yeah, you have 12 points, 12 points. 11 points, 10 points, 7 points.
You're talking about just average or just?
Points, yeah, on average. Okay. I mean, that's really, really rare.
Well, you know,
and then you have a couple of guys doing almost 6 points off the bench. You really can't key on one person. They are truly a team, you know, and John Thompson III, he knows how to, I think you said it, he knows how to get the players for his system. And they're going to be scary coming down at the end of because that Indiana game, I mean, they had that.
Yeah, I know. And
Indiana is legit.
Yeah, they are.
So you're talking about them playing with the best teams, really, really playing well against them. So, you know, I can't wait. I can't wait to the end of the season to see what's
going on. Indiana, yeah, definitely. Speaking of Indiana real quick, before we go into a different topic, Skylar Diggins from Indiana. I don't know if you're familiar with Skylar Diggins, the bomb-looking chick from a place, Notre Dame.
I talk about it every opportunity.
I know, Lord. They're playing against Baylor on Wednesday, Brittany Griner. She actually gave a shout-out to the show. I'm going to play her little shout-out. You know, I always play after every little commercial break. She mentions me and Will. I'm probably going to play it after this during the break. But
how much I had to pay for her to say
nah,
that?
Nah, actually, we was on another show. We do another show on Sundays called Apple G's. Yeah. Great show. Vivian, Coach, we love you. And she was on the show. We was interviewing her, talking to her. And
smiling from ear to ear, bro.
I love Skylar Diggins, man. I love her, man. Jeez. I mean, if I was like 7 years younger, man, I try. I would try my hand.
Hey, she's legal, right? How old is she?
Hey, she's 21.
Hey, all right. That's legal.
Grass in the field type thing.
Hey, you ain't here. Look, man.
No, I'm just saying. But, yeah, she playing. Y'all should go ahead and watch the game and support her. Because that's a point guard. Man, that is a good-looking point guard. All right? That is a good-looking point guard. You know what I mean?
Can't wait to see in the
check her out
WNBA.
Wednesday. Check her out Wednesday. WNBA.
Watch out for Holtzclaw.
She's
going to
make money for WNBA. She Holtzclaw.
No, I don't mean on the court. I mean off of it. You ain't hear what happened?
Oh, but I'm talking about how she looked. Don't compare
no. No, no, I'm not talking about Holtzclaw almost killed somebody. I'm telling her to watch out for it because
it's a depressing looking figure. She is no Skylar Diggins. Please.
No, I wouldn't dare compare it physically. I'm talking about what she did.
Please, gosh be gone. Anyway, I mentioned my whole history being playing in the Garden, New York City. What realms in New York? The New York Giants. You knew who came to FedEx? The New York Giants. You knew who saw Black Jesus? The New York Giants. They were blessed by Black Jesus.
They
were blessed by Black Jesus. But in the wrong way, though. When we come back from break, we're going to talk about the Redskins, the New York Giants.
It's called humility.
Sure,
being humbled.
Yeah, they've been humbled. They definitely were. Remember I call them being blessed,
All that they was talking.
All that they were talking. Cruz, we'll talk about you after the break, too. Urban Sports Scene on Eyes Radio. Check us out.
You can hear the Eyes Radio Network while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free news and talk mobile app available for your smartphone. And when you download Stitcher to hear the Eyes Radio Network, you have a chance to win some money. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher in the App Store. Just takes a few seconds. Then during registration, hit the Where Did You Hear About Us link and enter Eyes Radio, EYESRADIO, to get automatically entered to win $100. That's right, I said it, $100. The latest episode of the show will be waiting for you in your favorites. You'll get access to lots of other amazing shows too, always available to you on demand, no syncing. It's Stitcher Smart Radio. Don't forget to enter promo code EYESRADIO when you're registered. That's EYESRADIO.
Shout out to Urban Sports Team and Wally and Will. Love y'all, appreciate y'all. Keep up the support. We'll keep, you know, we'll keep the hits coming.
You can listen to our show by visiting our official Urban Sports Scene website, www.walio.podbean.com. We're on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. And if you have any questions or comments, just email us at urbansports@eyesradio.com. Like I said earlier, my skins. Oh, before I get into that, I'm sorry. You can also listen to us on the Sports Crib Podcast Show on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/WC Steeler Fan. The show is produced by West Coast Steeler Fan. Okay, like I was saying earlier, Redskins, we beat them on the Giants 17-16. Before I get into us beating up on the Giants and us actually giving out some analysis and things like that, I want to speak to Giants fans. I dislike Cowboy fans. Everybody knows that. They're the most belligerent fan base, period, second to Redskin fans. but I'm a Skins fan, so I know what I'm saying. But Giants fans, I don't know what this entitlement comes from. I know you've won two Super Bowls, and that's cool and everything, but you all have become real Republican-ish, like snobbish. Like, before this game, you all had like this aura about you. Like, this game was automatic. Like, you were going to beat the Redskins. Like, it was easy. Like, what happened in that game in New York on the road when we gave up, pretty much gave you the W because we dominated the game. Yep. Other than the turnovers and the fluke play, we dominated the game. Yep. So I don't know how from that game you've come up and just said, yeah, we're going to dominate the Redskins.
Yeah.
I don't know where that came from, and I'm amazed by it. But understand this. Last season, we beat you all twice with Rex Grossman as the quarterback.
It was Rex, wasn't it?
Yeah, this season, RG3, you've shown that you couldn't stop him the first time. The second time, you ain't stop him anyway. So I just want you to know this, that don't be overconfident when you play the Redskins because it's just not your kind of matchup. Now we can go to the game.
And there's a big difference between what the fans feel
and what
the players feel.
Totally.
You know, ask
Victor Cruz, though. Victor Cruz acted like the fans, though.
He did say, yeah.
We're not ready yet.
He's right. And I'm sure Coughlin would not, you know. The one thing about Coughlin, he's not about yesterday. First of all, let me say, I really respect the organization of the Giants. I think the general manager knows what he's doing. I like the way they built their defense. And
it's what people like. It's what we aspire to be, to be honest
with
you.
The players are showing respect. Fans, you know, okay, you won the Super Bowl and you get all the props in the world. I don't talk crap because of that. You're the champs. But remember, that was last season. You know, and trust me, I mean, if you want to live in the past, that's great. But, yeah.
I'm with you. No, you want to live in the past, it's great. I'm just saying, like, you're the defending champions. We know your pedigree. We know you turn it on. But it's not as if you're like a dominant team. Like, you get streaky. Like, you get hot. This Giants team may not even make the playoffs.
You guys are actually,
let's be real, they may not make the playoffs.
You guys are overachievers and underdogs, and for that you should be proud and act like it. Stop acting like you're the Patriots. You're not
exactly
the Patriots.
That's my thing. You're not the like when a team comes and plays the Patriots. To be totally honest with you, a lot of teams already lose when they see Tom Brady hit the field. Right. When the Giants hit the field, it's a Jekyll and Hyde thing. You think you can beat them. Now, sometimes the Giants bring their A game and you don't beat them. I agree. They could turn it on, but when they get hot, they get hot. When they're cold, they are horrible.
Yeah. They can lose to bad teams. So it's all I'm saying. All I'm saying is Giants fans, to be honest with you, Giants fans, the Giants, period, are like my second hated team, period.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Actually, the Patriots have moved up. But in the NFC East, they're my second favorite team. Hated team. Hated. Excuse me. So I just want y'all to know, like, I'm not just being salty and biased about it. I'm just being real. Like, you all have gotten real snobby. But, like I said, let's get into the game. You know, I'm sick of talking about fans.
Yeah,
I
agree with you about them.
Let's get to the game.
Let's get to the game. Yeah. The game yesterday, Monday night, where our defense showed up for the first time, I think, second time probably the whole season, allowed one touchdown, you know, a short pass. But other than that, I just think that the defense really, really stepped up without really a pass rush. I mean, Eli had all day to throw the whole game.
Which annoyed me, to be honest with you, watching the game. I've always said this, said it to a bunch of my friends. It doesn't matter, for real, with the defense. They give up big plays. You might as well just blitz. Seriously, I'm dead serious. You might as well just force the issue. Like, sitting back all the time, for what? They're still getting big plays. You might as well force the issue. Put Eli on his back. You see what happened in the fourth quarter. They started bringing out blitzes. D'Angelo Hall was doing cornerback blitzes, getting there. If you make Eli move in the pocket, don't let him stand still, he will make mistakes. The only reason to me why he didn't have any mistakes is because we allowed him to sit there.
You know what?
And that too.
Our defense, there's almost like a fool's goal type of deal. Yeah, we only kept them to one touchdown, some field goals, but a lot of those drives, man, those false starts, they did it to themselves. You know, I mean, you got to pressure Eli because that's the only way. You give him time, he'll carve you up. I mean, you know, I know he looks like just kind of, you know, the slowest person in the world, and he just doesn't, but he's an assassin back there, and his arm is vicious. And going forward, I don't know. We got to have some kind of pass rush. You know, I don't know how we're going to create it. I guess we have to blitz this year. But Arakpo, I hope you do something about that pectoral, man, because we need you.
Yeah, and we said this during the break. Yeah. It just shows how important Arakpo is. And, you know, for all the people who just stated, like, and I like Ryan Kerrigan. Don't get me wrong. I've even stated it. Now I'm starting to backtrack a little bit. But for all the people who stated that Ryan Kerrigan was better than Arakpo, understand this. Arakpo is making a difference without Ryan Kerrigan. What have you heard of Ryan Kerrigan since Arakpo really has been, since he's been gone? You know what I mean? So that's my thing. Arakpo has shown this. I think Arakpo has kind of made himself some money, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Because if you don't sign him, trust me, somebody else will.
I think he's made some money. But we talked about the defense. Let's talk about the offense, man. Let's talk about before we go to Black Jesus.
Yes.
Let's give Alfred Morris some go.
Yeah, I was about to say that. Please. I mean, come on. I mean, this dude right here is having an amazing rookie year. You know, really. He's already over 1,000.
1,100, still, I think.
Yeah, 1,100. Close to 1,100, if not 1,100.
Yeah.
He's got four more games. Consistency, toughness. I mean, Shanahan, say what you want about him, but one thing he, I don't know if it's him or the running back coach.
They coach him up, man.
He knows how to get the right person back there. And, man, you talk about we lucked up. Because I'm sorry, without Alfred Morris, we're not in the position we're in this season. I mean,
let me say
who's this. The MVP of the offense right now? Obviously, it's RG3.
Okay,
who's the second one?
Alfred Morris. Yeah. I'll say this much, and I'm a believer.
Maybe Trent Williams, by the way.
Yeah, Trent Williams too needs some love.
All pro?
Definitely.
All pro,
most definitely. I'll say this. I think Alfred Morris is obviously the best back on the team. I will not take that away from him. But I do think that Roy Helu, giving an opportunity with RG3 with his speed, those two in the back, that could be a problem too. Not to say he'd be some Alfred Morris stuff, but he'd be a problem.
Damn.
Don't get it twisted. Like, RG3 allows Alfred Morris to be a better running back. It's just the truth. And I always say, Alfred Morris will have the best stats out of the rookie running backs that came out this season.
Yeah.
But don't think he's the best rookie running back.
Yeah, I don't think
season.
That.
Like Trent Richardson, I'm going to keep it real. I was like, if Trent Richardson was in this offense, who's a similar back, who's faster than Alfred Morris, he would kill on this offense.
14,
but I'm not, again, that's not a knock on Alfred Morris. Alfred Morris is a beast. Yeah. Like, I'm serious. He's a beast. Yeah. But he to me, could be the back, could be the runner-up rookie of the year. I'm not rookie, or something like, or third of rookie of the year in the voting. Because, you know, it's Andrew Luck and RG3. But this is how good this kid's been. You know what I mean? People don't talk about him. No. It's funny. They talk about the Martin kid in Tampa. But look at it. Look at the stats. Alfred Morris is having a better year than him.
You're right. He's being overshadowed by RG3.
Yeah.
And he's not, you know, he's not a sexy running back.
Yeah, but like,
you know what I'm saying?
He stepped up on that, you know, after the fumble.
Yeah.
See how he closed the game?
Yeah.
That's what I mean. Like, that's where you gotta give him credit. You know, like I was here kirking out, won't lie to you. When he fumbled, I was kirking out. I was like, dude, how dare you fumble, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, I don't even blame you anymore. I blame Mike Shanahan because he should have ran Evan Royster because we're overrunning you. Like, I'm serious. Like, I was like, you went that hard on him?
Yeah. I was like, his first fumble.
No, not on him. I'm saying, I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at Mike Shanahan.
For having him back there?
No, yeah, because I think he's just over. He's killing this kid. This kid is running too much.
Okay.
Like, take him out. Like, you're killing him. Yeah. I said, he's only fumbling because you were overworking him.
Blackburn, man, that dude is just, he hit the ball square.
I'm like, he was fresh. He wouldn't fumble.
I've seen you when you watch Preston's game. Logic goes right out the window. When you're mad, it doesn't matter. Logic is out the window. You probably yelled at the best of them when it comes to
RG3. Dude, I was mad. I was like, RG3. I was like, how dare you waste RG3's long run? I was like, I was annoyed for RG3. Man. I was, this man just ran like a 70-yard, like a 60-yard run. Yeah. And then you dummy, your girl's going to fumble. And I'm thinking like, know what, Wally? Why are you blaming Alfred Moore? Stop it. Stop it now. Blame Mike Shanahan. Why? How dare you run this man? You've been running him for the whole season. Who's ever worse than that way? You wouldn't run so much. Yeah, but I like the way Alfred Morris came out of that situation.
Uh-huh.
Due adversity, he had his trial in that game, but at the end of the day, he stepped up and did what the Redskins needed him to do. He still ran hard, was running folks over.
Was it?
And in that last drive, after RG3 made that big first down, and in the last drive when it was 3rd and 3, he ran it straight up the gut and drove the whole Giants defensive line for that first down. Yeah. I was like, you know what,
the
kid?
Hulk. He played like the Hulk after that fumble.
I like, kid, you got it, man. You got it. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, and I came in the season like, you know, pissed off that Royster and Alou weren't getting the opportunity. But this dude has won me over, man. I can't deny that. Dude has won me over. So I'm a fan of the dude. And, you know, some of the other honorable mentions, Pierre Garçon.
Man, what in the world is up with this dude, man?
I'm not even trying to get to RG3 yet. We're going to get to him, all right?
What's up with this dude? Man, every time he touches the ball, it's like he's going to the house.
Yeah.
Who knew he was this fast? I didn't know.
He was fast. He's always been fast. You know what? He's always been good when he's after the catch. Like, yards after the catch, he's always been good.
And he's got vicious. His hands are
That's the problem. His hands, see, the thing about, all right, you saw him drop the pass when he dropped the first pass?
Yeah, he did drop
that. Okay, he does that. He does
make
that
amazing catch.
Yeah, see, he's the kind of guy that can drop an easy pass, but can catch. He can make a spectacular catch. So he's got that in him.
That's more of just concentration.
Yeah,
his hands are vicious.
Yeah, he has it. He has the ability. He definitely has the ability.
Take a couple of Adderalls, you know, you'd be good to go.
Yeah. And also,
prescription.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah. And also, man, big ups to. It's not going to be talked about, but before Garçon hit the winning touchdown, Leonard Henderson, that big catch.
Yeah, that was
a great catch.
He was
behind him.
Yeah, that was a great catch.
He snagged it. We needed that drive. That was the game winner. And then I think not too far after that, I mean, maybe right after that, you had Garçon for the touchdown. So a lot of players played well with RG3. Trent Williams continues to play at a high level. You mentioned him before. I don't think RG3 even got sacked, which is
get sacked.
Huh?
Part of that was RG3
he got sacked?
Squirting out
of there
when he was supposed to get sacked. But, I mean, the way he handled Jay.
Did you even hear Jay? Like, Paul? Pierre Paul?
He made one tackle that I remember of that was a beast. Other than that, I mean.
Did you even hear Pierre Paul? And he's playing hurt.
No, Trent Williams is having a great year.
You know what? We're used to having the good left tackles, man. Jim Lachey. Samuels, Chris Samuels.
That's right.
It used to be before Samuels came there, you know, I mean, the other tackles, I won't say left tackle, but John Jansen.
Oh, yeah, good old
Johnny.
I mean?
So he just continued that lineage of good tackles that we've had in the area. But let's just stop all this BS, man, for real. It's all about Black Jesus. It's always been about Black Jesus. That's why people come to the game, man. That's why people come to the games, man.
Hey.
They come to the games for Black Jesus, man.
I'm thinking about being born again, for real.
Seriously. Hey. I'm being serious. Look. The fumble for a touchdown, that's divine intervention, boy.
Hey. Hey.
That's divine intervention, boy.
It almost like it was planned.
It
was
planned to happen, man. Hey, you destiny. See how it happened? It didn't bounce.
Nope.
It didn't bounce to the ground.
No,
it went right to Joshua Morgan.
You ever seen a fumble?
It went to Joshua.
Ah.
It went to Joshua.
That's right.
That's all I'm saying.
I ain't never seen a fumble that went into somebody's hands.
Yeah, it went to Josh. It went to Joshua. Yeah, exactly. It just, and it didn't just, he didn't have to grab it.
It was guided to him.
It was just to him. It just stuck to him. Giants fans were like, I was on Facebook. Giants fans were like, oh, that was lucky. I said that wasn't luck.
No, touched by
Black Jesus. No. Black Jesus. There's no luck in Black Jesus.
That's right.
You were touched by Black Jesus. But you didn't say that's luck, that's blasphemy.
Hey, that's blasphemy.
That's blasphemy.
That is blasphemy.
Luck is with the Colts. Black Jesus up here.
All right, well said, I told him. Well said.
Black
yes, sir.
Jesus up here, man. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, he played a great game. He was fantastic. I mean, to me, we could have scored 24. If it wasn't for the Alfred Morris fumble. The Giants couldn't stop him. What the Giants tried to do was ball control, hold the ball to keep Black Jesus off the field. And that's what happened. You hear people say, well, they didn't contain him. He still moved up and down the field. You know what I mean? You can't stop him. You can't stop. The league can't stop him, especially right now. I just feel like right now you saw with the Eagles, you saw with the Cowboys, you're seeing with the Giants. He's hot. You know, he's just hot right now. You know what I mean? And it's like, what can you take away from him? You try to take away him running, when he's going to throw it? Because he's accurate. You see what kind of bombs he could throw? He could throw them on the money. You see what he's done to Archer Robinson. You see how he's hit Santana. You see how he's hitting most of these players deep. He's an accurate passer going deep. So I like what I'm seeing from him. I would like to see some other players around step up. And I'm going off. Niles Paul. I want to say this, and it's not no knocking on Niles Paul. I don't know what the conspiracy is with not playing Chris Pooley and letting him get touches, but Niles Paul, you drop a lot of passes.
Yeah. you are absolutely correct when it comes to that.
A lot of passes.
I would, one thing we know about Cooley is sure-handed.
Yes, he is.
You know, and we don't know because he hasn't been out there, but I can't see him doing any worse than anybody that's out there.
Yeah.
I mean, firstly, we talk about Logan. Slow Logan.
Yeah,
false
I know.
Start Logan.
But he's been playing.
He's playing well.
I know what you're talking
about. For him,
he's
been playing well.
I know what you're saying.
I mean, Cooley, I know Cooley can do better.
Me too. And he had a key block on Alpha, one of Alpha, was it Alpha Morris or Darrell Young's first down. Yeah. So, Chris Cooley.
I would really like to see him in the down stretch if we can use him a little bit more.
Just utilize him.
Yeah.
But you know what? My conspiracy is that thinking is that Shanahan wants to show that Niles Paul and Paulson can do a good job because they're younger, and he wants to show that he's like discovering new talent. You know what I mean? Discover new talent. And if you play Chris Cooley often, he'll get out.
Then it's going to be like, why did you cut him in the first place?
Yeah, that too. And then he gets out. If he gets out, it's like, okay, well, now you're forced to use Chris Cooley. You can't use the guys you want to use. Because if you give Chris Cooley the opportunity, he'll succeed. So, therefore, it's like, okay, well, I don't want him to succeed because I really want to use Niles Paul and Paulison. And if I use Cooley, people will question why I'm not using Cooley rather than, using the guys that I'm playing all the time.
It might be a conspiracy, but if you're talking about his stubbornness, man, there's some patterns to it,
it is
for conspiracy to be right. It has to be a pattern. He definitely fits that role, right?
I feel you. But back to RG3. Do you think RG3 so far is arguably having the best rookie season for a quarterback
ever?
Ever?
Well, there's no doubt he is. that's not even a question.
Some people say Andrew Luck.
That's not even a question.
Some people would say 8-4.
Andrew Luck is having a great rookie season. And I think last time I was up here, we said who was your rookie of the year.
Yeah.
And you said Luck. This is right before
the Dallas game,
the Eagles game.
This is before the Eagles game.
This is before the Eagles game.
But this is at that juncture.
Though. Yeah, definitely. And then we said was we'll see. Now, I mean, all right. Right now, is Robert Griffin III is the rookie of the year. Right
so it's
now,
crazy. To me, he is too. But you know what? When you listen to these cats,
some say luck,
really
but now
hard with luck.
Because you know what they'll say is the wins.
Yeah.
All right. But give him that though. He's
winning.
And he's winning.
And he's getting game-winning drives.
And game-winning drives.
Yeah.
He's asked to do a lot more as far as passing the ball, right? And, you know, and so, okay, fine. But overall, now that we're winning as well.
Exactly.
You can't just give that edge totally to him anymore.
No, you can't. Because RG3 is putting up the stats. He has a chance to get 1,000-yard rushing. He's got 17 touchdown, four picks. Yep. And Andrew Luck got 17 touchdown passing, 16 picks.
Yeah.
Or 16 picks. So how can you, to me, say, all right, he's the MVP when RG3 is 500 now, too.
Yeah. With a much better passer rating.
Yeah, much better passer rating. And QBR, whatever that stupid crap is.
Yeah, and you know, they talk about the, you know, the interceptions that he'd have more.
That's an if factor. You can't say that.
You can't say that. Go by what's out there, and ratio is ratio. So to me, he's right now the rookie of the year. But if the next four games, he's leading, but it ain't over yet.
And I'll say this much: forget the rookie of the year. If RG3 wins out. We talking possible MVP.
Especially if he puts up huge numbers in the next four.
If he plays the
and
same,
that's ridiculous.
If he plays the same way he's been playing over this stretch, he's a definite candidate. You know,
couple of huge games in playoffs. He's already a candidate right now.
To me, he is too. Because you know what? Like, just like when you're going for the Heisman, it's all about having that national TV game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like doing it in the national TV game.
Yep.
Look what happened in this game with the Giants. The Cowboys on Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah.
It's all about doing it on national TV. And
he's getting the opportunity right now.
The most exciting player in football right now. In the NFL. And also, he's the jersey sales. Leads already. And he only played 12 games.
He's going to crush it. He's leading now, but you're about to see the power of Redskins' purchase power real soon.
Real soon. Yeah. That's all, Black Jesus. You just touched this. Anyway, let's go back to defense. You mentioned the defense, and I think you put some real good insight into the defense, Sam. But we didn't talk about this one dude who's improving, man. D Hall. He looked good the last 3 weeks, three to 4 weeks. He looked pretty well. He looked pretty good. Excuse me.
Yeah, he's been playing the ball. The one catch by Nicks.
You talking about Cruz?
Hicks and Nicks, whatever. The one. Where he had the Knicks. He was almost in when he had his hand almost right on the ball.
Oh, you talking when he drove when he drove on the ball?
Yeah, that was good defense. Very good defense.
Yeah, perfect.
You can't
pass,
get much
defense.
Better than that. You know, that's Carlos Rogers-ish. You know, always there regardless.
Yeah, always
and,
there,
and that's what you like to see. Hey, another thing I want to say about Hall. Historically, we all know that he doesn't tackle nothing, but this year, if you look at the games, he's been hitting people, he's been tackling people, he's been putting his nose in there. So I don't know exactly what the change has been, but he's definitely been right there, and you know, he's been playing well, so especially the last several games.
He's been playing at a high level. He has. I posed the question on Facebook and on Twitter. I said, your thoughts on D Hall play of late. Nate Dog said, still thinks he's some butt and not that smart. Should have scored that TD against the Cowboys. Hope those points don't come back to haunt us. I mean, haunt the Skins at the end of the season if it comes down to a tiebreaker. Let's see. My boy with Thomas Carroll, he said Madu Williams is terrible.
He's
that's
right.
That's true. He is terrible.
He is
anyway,
right.
My boy Johnny Ford, Johnny Ford Jr. says, I still think D. Hall is a good corner. That play that Cruz got on him, he got a nice chip from another receiver, and everybody knows that Cruz is fast as lightning. D. Hall is great in run support, and once we get better safeties, his play will even out, which is true. I agree with that. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I don't see any more. I agree with that. Like, he's saying that you said, he's been actually hitting in run support. He's done a good job. I'm trying to find some on Twitter. But, yeah, I'm a big fan of – actually, not, I'm not a big fan of D-Hall, and people know that. I don't really like the kid, like the guy. Yeah. But I'll say this, man. Over this stretch, I think he has, like, 3 interceptions in this stretch. He didn't have one yesterday, but, he had, like, I knew he had an interception against the Eagles, the Cowboys. And I think he had one – did he have one against Carolina? The Eagles and the Cowboys. I know two. Yeah, well, he had interception those two games. Yeah. Eagles and the Cowboys. So he's been playing very well. Hopefully he keeps it up. Here you go. On Twitter at 5THWD logo. He's playing like a man now. I actually had a discussion with my man Ike Manifico. He said D Hall is a third corner at best. Yes, I'm a diehard Skins fan, but once I had a conversation and talked to him, he was like, I may expect him to play up to the level of his trash talk and his paycheck, but you might be right. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I mean, a lot of people just don't like him, so it's, you know, a lot of times it's a lot of, it's just unfair criticism based on his personality, but he's been playing well. Give him his props.
Yeah, I mean, he's played great. He's played very, very good.
Yeah, very good, yeah.
It within the stretch, and this is what we need him to play good at.
That's right.
This is a big stretch right now. So, but I agree. Even in the Giants game, even though Cruz got 104 yards and he was checking Cruz for most of the game, I thought he played Cruz fairly well. Way better than that bum Josh Wilson, who's one of the most terrible cornerbacks we ever played this game. I'm sorry, but anyway, what do you think the Redskins' chances are to make the playoffs or even win a division?
Well, right now they're good. It's going to come down to this game right here. This is huge right here. The Ravens game is huge. They got the Browns, they got the Eagles.
And Dallas at the end of the season.
And then Dallas last game. If they beat the Ravens, the Redskins aren't so good. You just think that they can beat anybody, go out there. But based on how they're playing, and we do have Jesus now. Black playing
Jesus.
Quarterback.
You got Black Jesus. You ain't lying. Those locks are biblical.
Yeah. And it's we actually have a good chance of making the playoffs.
Whatever you want to call them. Yeah.
They're good.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think they have a good chance to win a division, to be honest with you. Giants have a tough road ahead.
Right.
I believe the Giants are playing the Saints next. Which is not an easy game.
Nope.
They still have the Falcons on the schedule.
Yeah.
So they have a real tough, murderous schedule. And they got the Patriots.
The only thing is, will the Falcons go ball out because they've already, clinched?
Yeah.
That's the only thing.
They don't have the Patriots. I don't think they have the Patriots. But they have, they have a very tough schedule. So we'll – no, I think the Falcons need to beat the Giants. I'll be honest
with you. For home court? I mean, for home field?
I think they don't want the Giants in the playoffs. I think nobody wants the Giants in the playoffs. So if you can take them out, take them out. And the Falcons are a team that – to be honest with you, if the Giants think they can beat the Falcons by beating them, if they see them in the playoffs, they'll beat the Falcons. And that's the truth. And that's the honest to God truth. And also, and it's up to the Niners to compete too at the same time to keep the Falcons honest, to be honest with you. But that you spoke, you mentioned the Ravens. And also before I get into the Ravens, because that's the next game we're playing. The game that scares me on the Redskins schedule more than anything is the Browns game. It's even
more.
The
Browns have actually.
Do you know why they scare me though? Because the Redskins come in, for some strange reason, the Skins always have this sense of entitlement when they play bad teams. They think that they should walk on the field and just beat a bad team. They think that, and they're not good enough. I can say that I'm a Skins fan. They're not good enough.
No.
Like when they play teams like the Giants, the Ravens, and the Cowboys on Thanksgiving days because they know they got to play their A game. They're the underdog, so they have to play hard and to beat these teams. The Browns scare me. I'm hoping that they take – that's what I'm missing about Joe Gibbs. Like, when Joe Gibbs had a big game, if he played a bad team, best believe he would treat a bad team like a bad team. you know what I mean? Like, you got a girl – I mean, I'm real with you. Like, there's the classy girl, and there's a girl around-the-way chick. Like, you treat a classy chick –
yeah.
Like a classy chick.
Yeah.
You don't treat a classy chick like a runaway chick.
Yeah.
You treat that chick like you know what.
Yeah.
You treat her like you treat her.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I'm just saying, you don't treat a classy chick like a, you know what I mean? Then that's what the Redskins are. Now, the good guy, the good person, would treat the classy chick like a runaway chick like a classy chick. Give her respect.
Yeah.
The Redskins are that grimy. They that grimy dude, yeah, man. They that grimy dude.
Well, thanks for breaking it down in a way that a lot of listeners could understand. I tell you, you make a lot of sense, man. And the euphemism works because it is true. You know, the truth will set you free. And the one thing about Giz, I used to remember, like, would you stop? Because he used to be like, he don't matter who we're playing. They just have to, they're just great.
Yeah, you always say.
I mean, he would size them up so much. And you sit there, come on, Joe. We all know they suck.
Exactly. Joe Giz, this is why I miss you. Yeah. I'll say this. I remember that game on the stretch. We played LeVar, you get to let him out playing 49ers. We need the game. And we beat him like 35-6.
Yeah.
And that's what I told folks. You know what? We may not blow out good teams, we may always struggle with them, and it may be at home. When we play a bad team,
we show out.
We treat them suckers like a bad team. We treat them like, we treat them like they is a classy little team, and we play them hard.
Hey, that's what on the NFL Network they had the special about the '88 Super Bowl team, and Charles Mann was saying that Joe Gibbs brainwashes you. Like, before you know it, you're saying what he says because he repeats a lot of the same thing. And because you watch his press conference, you sit there like, come on, Joe. But it works. So hopefully, you know, we'll stick to that, man. And was that Suggs at the game, too?
Yeah, Suggs at the game. Suggs at the game. RG3 and Suggs at the same game.
Uh-huh.
So Suggs may not play, though. Hey, let's get to Ravens. Let's get to Ravens anyway. Ravens next. Ray Lewis might play, and big thing, big ups. I forgot to tell you all. Cedric Griffin suspended 4 games. Let's talk about that real quick before we get to Ravens game. Matter of fact, how big of an impact is that for the Redskins, and it's especially during this stretch?
Well, I thought he played well yesterday. He didn't get burnt. He was right there with the deep bomb. He put his hand out there. He broke it up. I thought his tackling was good. So it's going to hurt us because we can't afford another loss in the secondary.
Yeah, especially with Josh Wilson.
Nice.
That just makes Josh Wilson more important.
Oh, scary stuff.
That is so scary. Let's go with the Ravens anyway. We'll talk about Griffin probably next week. Hopefully he doesn't hurt us not having Griffin for next week's game against the Ravens. But Ray Lewis, like I said, Ray Lewis looks like Ray may play. What are the keys to a Redskins victory?
Well, of course, you know, all the obvious things, turnovers, you know. It really, I think it's going to be how we control their offense. You know what I'm saying? Because it's not the Ravens defense of old. You can get off on these Ravens. So I just think it's going to be how we control Rice. Because we actually do have a good running defense. So that's going to be interesting to see how they slow down Rice. And, you know, and just stop the big plays, you know. And if we keep it close, I think that we definitely have a shot. So it's going to be interesting because we rarely ever play the Ravens. So it's, you know.
Yeah, I mean, to me.
Battle Beltway, we'll
it's
see.
It's easy. Not easy. I'm happy we're playing the Ravens. I'll say that again. Because their reputation, because who they are, is going to force us to play at a high level. Secondly, Flacco doesn't travel well. I know he's only going down 295.
Yeah.
He don't travel well. He doesn't play the same. We'll get a lot of Ray Rice because against the Steelers they didn't use Ray Rice in the fourth quarter. So that tells me that they're going to OD on Ray Rice in this game. Now, will they be effective? I don't know. But again, if Ray Lewis comes to play, he wants to play in this game. Ray Lewis ain't catching 4.3 speed. He ain't catching track star speed. Ray Lewis got a bad tricep. So he's coming early. He's coming back early.
Yeah.
Alfred Morris don't pack a light lunch. When you see Alfred Morris, you best to full up. You know what I mean? He packs a big little punch. Yeah. So my whole thing is that Ray rest up for next week. I mean, rest up, don't try to play in this game. You know what I mean? This game is gonna be a physical game. Especially when you got Alfred Morris coming down on your throat. And then it's going to be a finesse game with RG3. It's not the same Ray Lewis with speed. This is track speed. Suggs probably won't play because it's not beneficial to his health to play in this game. It's a secondary that's missing Webb, one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL. Yep. So Pierre Paul may have an opportunity to do some big things. And also, let's be real. You watch that Steelers game, Charlie Batch, there were wide receivers running free in that game. Like running free in that Steelers game. And Charlie Batch didn't hit them all the time. He had a great game, but he hit them all the time. So yep. I'm looking at the Redskins having the opportunity to do some damage in this game. I believe they need to pressure Joe Flacco in this game. If they pressure Joe Flacco, blitz him, mix things up. This can be, put it this way, the Giants are more challenging than the Ravens at this point in time. Let me put it that way.
Well said.
Let me put it that way.
I agree.
Predictions.
For this week, go ahead. And you.
No, for this game.
For this game?
You know how.
All right, well, it's.
You don't ask me.
Based on progress. Now, the Ravens, you know, they lost last week, so they're going to come out. So, you know, a little bit sense of urgency, but. Actually, you know, and I'm one of those fans who, if I feel like we're not going to win, I'll say it. I feel like we are going to win this game. The momentum is serious. It's real. Everybody has bought in. You have a real team thing. And we need the game more than they do is the bottom line. And you can say what you want, but they're still sleeping on the skins. They're sleeping.
They're sleeping. Let me make it this easy. You give me a lot of information. I like that, you know, talking on that talk. The fact of the matter is we have Black Jesus. That's all. We have Black Jesus. They have Flacco. We have Black Jesus.
Yep.
They have Shane Falco. We have RG3.
Yep.
They have the replacement. We have the star. We have Willie Beeman.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's all I'm saying. Like, that's all I'm saying. You know what I mean? I'm talking about Willie Beeman, his last game, not when he got arrogant. I'm talking about his last game when he was humble. You know what I mean? That's what I'm talking about. All right, that's what I'm talking about. I ain't talking about that. So, I predict the Redskins to show out. I predict for it to be, you know, obviously it'll be tough in the beginning. I think they'll be filling teams out, but this will be the Ravens' first time of seeing RG3. They have never seen a quarterback like this, especially in the AFC North, where there's a bunch of physical quarterbacks who like to stay in the pocket and run around. This is just speed right here. The Ravens probably haven't seen a quarterback like this in their conference or in their division since. I guess if I have to really be forced to say it, Steve McNair, the late Steve McNair, and he's not as fast as RG3, but he's talking about as a mobile quarterback they had to see on a regular basis.
They ain't seen nothing like this. So,
this is gonna be new. Let's see what's gonna happen. Get your popcorn ready, as T.O. would say. But anyway, it's time for commercial break. But we all heard, you know, as a Redskins fan, we know about tragedy. Sean Taylor died not too long ago, which, you know, hurts. It still hurts us to this day, but. You know, there was a major tragedy over the weekend with Cassandra Perkins in the senseless crime. So when we get back, we'll talk about that. I don't want to get that dude who suicided any credit. But when we get back from the break, we'll talk about the whole situation. Urban Sports, you know, Eyes Radio.
Time out! Okay, guys, Summers really had his bell rung and could have a concussion. I'm pulling him out for the game. Rodriguez, you're in for Summers.
Come on, coach. It's just a ding. I'll shake it off.
Yeah, he's tough. Plus, we need to win this to make the playoffs.
Listen, we're a team and we need to look out for each other. Concussions are serious. No game is more important than your health.
Take concussions out of play. If you're a coach, know the warning signs and never let athletes return to play before a healthcare professional says it's okay. A message from CDC.
These mother take your kindness for weakness. So sometimes in life, you just gotta blow their mother faces off. Remix! How about Gucci? How about Belly? At the same damn time. On the phone. Cooking at the same damn time. Tell him. At the same damn time. Too bad. At the same damn time.
Turn my mic up, man.
Same damn time.
I don't even know why mother is trying to even touch this mother.
This is Ryan Kerrigan, and you're listening to the Eyes Radio Network.
It's Urban. It's the Urban Sports Scene on Eyes Radio. You can listen to us Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on the Applegees Radio Show. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/Applegees. The show is hosted by Coach and the lovely Vivian. Like I mentioned before, big tragedy in Kansas City. But before we get into the whole situation with Miss Cassandra Perkins, Brady Quinn had some deep words to say in his press conference after the Chiefs win.
The one thing is hopefully people can try to take away that I guess the relationships they have with people. I know when it happened, I was sitting in my head thinking, what could I have done different? When you ask someone how they're doing, do you really mean it? When you answer someone back, how are you doing? Are you really telling them the truth? We live in a society of social networks and Twitter pages and Facebook, and that's fine and stuff. But, we have contact with our work associates, our family, our friends, and it seems like half the time we're more preoccupied with our phone and other things going on instead of the actual relationships we have in front of us. And hopefully people can learn from this and try to actually figure out if someone's battling something, deeper on the inside than what they may be revealing on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, I saw it. Usually press conference, it's a whole bunch of generic statements, talking points. But he really kind of got psychological with it. And I think, based on what I do for a living, I am a counselor, and I'm used to dealing with people and pain and misery and that type of things, and I actually do deal with a lot of suicides and suicide attempts, and it's essentially what it comes down to, from my experience. When we reach a certain level of pain, especially as men, keeping it inside is how a lot of us deal with it, as opposed to, being vulnerable and talking about that level of depression and anger. And, we can't do anything about what happened, of course, in Kansas City. But as far as with you in your life, don't ever be ashamed to talk about that degree of pain in your life. Now, I'm not saying talk about it with anybody, but there's definitely somebody out there you can talk to. They have hotlines, because when you keep that stuff in, it will boil, it will escalate. And the worst thing is usually take it out on somebody who doesn't deserve it. And there's just no excuse for taking somebody else's life. And it's unnecessary to me, and it's beyond sad, and it's hopefully what we do is we learn from it, we grow from it, don't ever be ashamed to talk about the pain that you're in. That's what I'll take from it.
Well, I'm just a little bit, for me, with the whole coverage, I get annoyed when people talk about Mr. Javon Belcher. He took this young woman's life, Cassandra Perkins, for the senseless crime. I gotta give Brady Quinn credit, because he's right when he states that, we're in a society of Facebook and Twitter and all that other stuff. But when you ask somebody, how are they doing, do you really mean it? You know what I mean? And when you respond back, are you really giving them a true response? And I'm sitting here thinking, when I listen to that, I'm like, man, you're like 100% correct. Like, when we just say the generic stuff, like, do we really care about how this person is feeling? You know what I mean? And when I listen to that, I'm like, man, it's real. So he even had me thinking to myself, how can, I better myself and trying to listen to certain things or warning signs and things of that sort. But back to Javon Belcher, I'm just mad for the family of Miss Perkins. Her child is not going to get to know her mother. It's just an annoying situation for me. I don't, obviously the players have a relationship with the person. I've heard that they've had a shrine in the locker room or something to that effect. I'm not sure. It kind of makes me mad as just a human being, because you got someone like, for instance, I mentioned Sean Taylor. He has a shrine. He was senseless. He was senseless. He was murdered. Yeah. It was something senseless, and he just tried to protect his family. They killed, you know, and it was a fluke thing. Don't get me wrong. They didn't try to kill him. They shot him at the wrong, yeah. Wrong spot. He died. But whatever, they shot him. Yeah. You know, that was senseless. He was killed. He was killed. This dude committed suicide because he was about to get caught by the feds, and he killed his girlfriend, and that's what happened to me. He could be depressed. I don't know. Whatever. But he took this.
Yeah,
he
the
took
point
this,
is there's no excuse for it.
Yeah, there's no excuse for it. He took this lady's life. And, you know, it is what it is. I don't really like talking about it. I mean, I just want everybody to pay attention more to Cassandra Perkins and her kid and her family. You know what I mean? Obviously, I feel bad for his family because they're losing his parents are losing a kid. They're losing their kid. Right. He's dead. But in the grand scheme of things, I'm more concerned with Cassandra Perkins, and I hope the Kansas City Chiefs do what do right by his kid and her family, to be honest with you.
Just to get away from this mentality where you think it's okay to shoot, stab somebody else because you either disagree with what they did. You know, that mentality right there needs to stop. It's nothing cool. I mean, it's none but misery comes from it. And I'm sure that's what happened after, you know, after the whole thing was and it settled in and he realized what he did and we had to face. And it's not a movie. It's not a rap song. And, you know, for a lot of people, they just have to understand, you know, being rejected or not getting what you want does not give you an excuse to go out there and do something like that.
Yeah, but real quick, do you think they should have played the game? You have an issue with them playing
the game? I have no problem with them playing a game. I mean, what's done is done. I mean, what's not playing a game going to help anybody? I just don't understand.
I totally agree with you. Let's move on, man. You know, it's a bad situation. Let's move on anyway. The 49ers, as you know, they lost to the Rams in a game that we all would peg a game they should have won.
Yeah.
Kaepernick was the starter. Do you think he was to blame for that game? You know, because, you know, Harbaugh's had the situation, Kaepernick, Smith. Do you think was Kaepernick the blame for that loss?
Oh, well, he had an interception, right?
No, he had a pitch fumble.
He had a pitch, fumble.
Which they scored on that play, period. And he gave up a safety, a meaningless safety. That's not a meaningless safety. A safety like he could have avoided.
I mean, I didn't see the game. I just saw the stats, so it's hard for me to say.
I watched the game, so I could tell you.
Yeah, you tell me. I mean, what do you think?
That's all you told me. If you didn't watch the game, that's all you had to say. Oh, you see the highlights of the game? Jesus. Yeah, I saw the game. I'll say this much. I'm a Smith fan. I think it's unfair that he lost his job due to a concussion. He had 104 quarterback rating. But let's say I feel like Kaepernick was a big reason they lost that game. The defense didn't give up nothing but 6 points prior to the whole game. They lost 10. They lost 10 to 13 to 10. They only gave up 6 points. Even more petty, they only gave up 8 points. Put it that way. They gave up. Kaepernick does an option pass, which is a bad play. It was a bad call by the offense, to be honest with you. The offensive coordinator should have called the play because they were at their end and they're running the option. That's a dangerous play. It was a terrible pitch. He threw a terrible pitch. Basically, it was in the end zone. Everyone says Ted Ginn should have just jumped on the ball. True, he could have jumped on the ball, but it was a terrible pitch. The cornerback for the Rams dove at the ball, scored a touchdown on that fumble. Before that play, he gave up a safety, which was two. You know, so it made it 10-2. He gave up a safety where he just kept running back, and he threw the ball. It was intentional ground, and they called it a safety. He could have just. There's no reason to run that far back, so he screwed that one up. Secondly, was the fumble I mentioned to you. So, and that was around, I want to say 3 minutes, like three minutes left. So he gave up that touchdown. So that made it eight. They went for two. They got it two. So tied it up at 10. So in essence, the defense only gave up at that point in time 4 points. All right. So in regulation, they gave up. Sorry, they gave up 2 points. I'm sorry. Safety doesn't count. So regulation, they kicked the field goal in overtime. So yeah, they gave up three. Yeah, they only gave up about five. They only gave up 8 points.
Well, I think you just answered the question.
So, yeah. So I'm a little iffy on this. Kaepernick, I do see the potential. I do think he's the future. But I, in my opinion, I think if Alex Smith starts that game, they don't lose that game. That's my opinion.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? But are you a cabinet supporter? You think he should be starting for this
well,
team?
Well, put it like this. I mean, I think either one of them could start. But once you started Kaepernick now,
yeah.
If you pull him now, then you're just being, you're acting bipolar as opposed to, you know, making a decision to change isn't the end of the world to me.
Yeah.
It's benching him now. I feel like for now you stick with him. I mean, it's been proven that you could, you know, as long as you give him a shot, you can win, you know, you can continue and win and win the Super Bowl. But you don't pull him now. You know, you stick with him for several games, but you go back, you know, if you feel like, you know, Alex Smith deserves it. But not yet.
So they got the Dolphins next. They lose to the Dolphins. So you go back to Alex Smith.
It depends how he plays. It depends how he plays.
All right, so that's a fair point. I think they lose to the Dolphins. If they lose to the Dolphins, it's because of Kaepernick.
I do believe you will see Alex Smith. I don't know if he'll be a starter, but getting significant time down the edge and even in the playoffs.
Yeah, okay, I'll get that. Let's go to another quarterback situation. Mark Sanchez was benched in favor of Greg McElroy in the loss, well, in the win to the Arizona Cardinals. I think he threw three interceptions.
Yeah.
Should you? Is I don't want to say this. I feel like it's mean, but I guess it's the truth. Is Sanchez's career as a starting quarterback for the Jets over?
Well, the Jets. They owe him $8 million. He's got another year with $8 million. So I'm gonna say no, because I mean, who's his backup?
Tim
Tebow to start, so people can shut up and see how bad he is.
Greg
yeah, and you know, and the other dudes, we don't even know what he can do.
From Bama, man. He won a national championship.
But I mean, in the NFL. You know what I'm saying? And okay. So it's like, you can say what you want about Mark Sanchez. Mark Sanchez is what Mark Sanchez is. No. He is an average quarterback.
Braylon Edwards tweeted and said he's a baller. He said the coaching staff is the reason why he's not successful.
Well, he might be a baller, but he ain't been playing. What kind of ball? I mean, he ain't been balling this season.
I don't know, man.
But like this, he's got a nice, accurate short game. His long ball is suspect.
He don't have any talent around him. I'll say that much. Yeah, the wide receiving position. They kind of
He's a serviceable quarterback, but he's not somebody who if you need him to carry your team, you're screwed.
All right. So for the rest of the season, you know, because Rex Ryan is making the decision who's the starting quarterback for the next game. But at the Jacksonville, I think they're playing Jacksonville, which is Tim Tebow country. Who should start?
You go with
if it's not Sanchez this Sunday. Do you go with Tebow or Greg McElroy?
I don't think. I think Sanchez shouldn't start. It should be either Tebow
or McElroy. But who would you go?
I mean, go with McElroy. You already know what Tebow can't do.
What's that?
I'm not going to say what he can't do
ball.
Because
you mean throw the ball. He can't throw the ball.
He can't.
He's a quarterback.
Yeah, he can't throw the ball. And he's so it's like I'm so tired about hearing about him.
Jacksonville, that's his hometown. Yeah, he's the king.
Let him continue the Jacksonville.
RG3 is Black Jesus. He is Jesus.
He's Elvis. That's what he is.
He's Jesus in Jacksonville. I'm just saying, and not, I don't mean that because he's religious. I'm just very, very super that he imposes religion on football. I'm just saying it because he's Jesus. Like this dude is loved in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Let him go. I want him.
I mean, I'll argue a point with Tim Tebow. If you could show him a good defense, he can win games. He showed with the Broncos, he can win games.
I'm not even going to say that. I'm not going to dignify that with an answer because everybody he's played, when you play him the second time, he's put up the worst numbers in football history. Just look at everybody that when they played him the second time, what they did to him. He's not RG3. You know, it's not going
to
work.
All right, let's move on down to another quarterback situation. My man Michael Vick has now been removed as a starter. Michael Vick, worry about your health, man. It doesn't even matter about starting. You just had a long concussion. So Andy Reid is gone with Nick Foles as a starter. You agree with the move?
Well, I mean, I would – if I was the Eagles, I'm bringing back – Michael Vick and Andy Reid.
That's
not going to happen. So if there's a whole bunch of teams out there,
yeah,
you better go out there and get Andy Reid with Michael Vick.
I hear you. I like that one. But so do you think? So you don't think making Nick Foles the starter saves Andy Reid's job.
See, what the Eagles don't understand is, see, they think we know because we've been bad for a long time.
I know. They don't understand that
things can get worse.
They don't understand, like, the blessings they have. They actually have great coach.
They can't appreciate. They have no clue. They don't understand how.
Like, this dude just missed two playoffs. They think, well, y'all make it seem as if y'all won Super Bowls. Like, this dude missed two playoffs, and y'all crying. Be in our shoes, man.
Yeah, it's just one of those things, man. It's to me, it's so obvious. They just think that, okay, we're almost there. We just get rid of Andy Reid and we get rid of Michael Vick, then we're going to go up.
All right, real quick. Speaking of Michael Vick, we mentioned all these quarterbacks. What are some of the great situations for these quarterbacks to go to next season if they're not going to be able to be with their team after the season?
I think Buffalo looks good.
For Vick? For Vick?
Yeah.
Okay, Buffalo for Vick.
I think, I know it's, something.
What about for Sanchez if he's not a Jet?
I haven't thought about that, but I mean, there's definitely the type of team he needs to go to is a team with very good defense.
Well, I like the running game. He can go to like the Minnesota Vikings.
Hey, you know what? That's excellent.
You know what I think that like Alex Smith. I think Alex Smith is a perfect place for Minnesota, another good place for Vic or Alex Smith, Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah.
The quarterback play over there is horrible.
You know what? You're absolutely right. I see you thought about this.
Yeah, I thought about it. Because I was thinking about some of these quarterbacks, they ain't going to have a job.
Well, the guarantee is somebody's going to pick them up.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm looking at those opportunities.
I actually want to see him go somewhere else and shine. Because, a lot of the Eagles, fans, media, y'all don't deserve Andy Reid.
Andy Reid, I think he's going to Cleveland. I don't know if Vic will be there, but I think he's going to Cleveland.
Cleveland's on the up. Yeah. They're on the rise.
I don't know if he's gonna keep Brandon Wheaton, but I think he would take Cleveland.
Man.
But it's time to go to our picks. Sam, last time Sam was here, he was 3-1. Wills 27-9, 19-17, and Ray is 26-10. Ray did not put his picks, so Ray will submit all of his. This week he'll go 0-4, and that's what we do because he's supposed to text me back and he didn't. Will did text me. I'm trying to find my phone with Will his picks. I probably won't mention them if I don't have my phone, because if I can't find my phone, and I cannot.
Hey.
Oh, doesn't matter then. We will make picks with Sam, and I will mention Will's picks after the show off the air. But anyway, Bears versus Vikings. Sam?
Ooh, that's not easy right there. Where is it at?
It's in Minnesota.
Ooh, that's tough. I'm going to go ahead and give the edge to the Bears. They still have the defense. Peterson has been beasting this season.
Man, he's a beast. He's just great.
Yeah, he is.
He's just great. Well, Will has the Bears.
I'm not sold on Ponder, so I'm going with the Bears.
I'm going to go to the Vikings. I just like AP too much.
And nobody will be mad at you. It's going to be nobody.
Plus, I'm behind, so I need to catch up. And Cowboys, Bengals.
My instincts already tell me you just don't pick the Cowboys, so I'm going to go with the instincts.
Bengals. Cowboys, this is going to be their season ender. Will has the Bengals. Saints versus Giants.
Where's that?
Oh, it's in New York.
Five picks for Breeze in the last game. I can't see him doing that again. I'm going with Saints.
All three of us going with the Saints. Texans versus Patriots in New England.
Oh, boy, that's going to be something. This is going to be the key game to see if the Texans are scared of the big spotlight and the big team. But I'm going to go with the Texans because they've been the better team all season.
All three of us going with the Texans due to that defense. I think that defense is going to have Brady running all day. You could check out my picks every week. Just visit www.pickfactor.com. Let's move to fantasy football. We're going to do this real quick. We call this the lightning round. If you give some fantasy advice, Sam, who would you start this week?
Start Cam Newton because he's been beasting the last couple of weeks.
Cam Newton, who's he playing? You have an idea who's playing?
It doesn't matter.
This match you have.
I knew earlier, but just start him.
I don't know. I hear you. I'm not mad at you. I'm gonna start Jacksonville's defense. Who they're playing this week? Oh yeah, I think they're playing the Jets. Are they playing the Jets? No, they're not playing the Jets. I think they are playing the Jets. I'm not sure. I think so. Yeah, they're playing the Jets. They are. They're playing the Jets. So I'm gonna go with Jack. I'm gonna go with play Jacksonville defense against Tebow, McElroy or Sanchez. Who should you sit this week?
Phillip Rivers. Yeah, it's, you know, depending on who else you got starting, but he's been pretty iffy.
Phillip Rivers. So you would bench Phillip Rivers.
I'm benching him.
All right, that's cool. All right.
I'm benching him.
All right, so y'all, whoever Phillip Rivers is playing against, I think he's playing against the subpar team. I'm not sure. My man Sam said bench Phillip Rivers. I said you should sit Joe Flacco. That's right. I said sit Joe Flacco. He doesn't travel well on the road. He just doesn't do it. And I'm a Redskins fan, so I don't care. Who is your sleeper?
Who's yours? Let me see.
All right, my sleeper is Denario Alexander. For the San Diego Chargers, I think that he's been getting a bunch of yards after the catch. Phillip Rivers has fallen in love with him. I won't be surprised he has a touchdown on a long run. So I'm going to go with Denario Alexander.
I'm going with Michael Bush.
Michael Bush is going against the Minnesota Vikings. Do you think we'll get like one rushing touchdown?
I'm saying Michael Bush.
All right. Well, all right, it's cool. My man Sam says Michael Bush. When we get back from commercial break, we're going to dive in. Well, actually, real talk. I was talking about McElroy, Greg McElroy, right?
Yeah.
He went to Alabama. That's right. Alabama. We're going to be talking about a national championship game. Alabama, Notre Dame. Urban Sports scene on Eyes Radio. You dig?
I'm Peyton Manning. On the football field, I always had to prepare for the unexpected. My teammates and I train to think fast and be ready ahead of the game. You can be ready with the help of your local American Red Cross. The American Red Cross can help all of us prepare for life's emergencies. Take life-saving CPR or first aid courses. Make an emergency plan or learn how to build a disaster supplies kit. Contact the American Red Cross today.
Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or visit redcross.org to learn more.
Life is good. Life is good.
Life is good. Life is good. Life is good. Life is good.
Hi, I'm Sonny Jurgensen, and you're listening to the Eyes Radio Network.
The Urban Sports Center Eyes Radio. Mentioned Notre Dame and Alabama, the big national championship game is going down. Who do you think will win this game and why?
Oh, it's easy. I mean, it's not even going to be who's going to win. It's how bad they're going to beat Notre Dame. I mean, the only reason I want Notre Dame to be in this game is so they can be embarrassed national TV.
They've been complaining on the low about why they didn't, why it took them so long to get to that spot. Everybody had to lose when you get to the number one spot.
Horrible the last how many years? I mean, all right, they've really performed this year. The defense is good.
Actually, their defense is the SEC defense.
Yeah, it's a very stout defense. But their offense has been mediocre all season. They're just not a better team than Alabama. It's not, to me it's... Now, all right, if the game is close, I'll be surprised. If Notre Dame wins, I'll be shocked.
Yeah.
But I expect to be Alabama win. I'm tired of Alabama win. It's not like I like them either, but, they got it.
I think the game could be close. I won't even deny that because I think Notre Dame's defense is that good. But what I look at is, common opponents. And Alabama played Michigan, and I'm a Michigan fan, and they embarrassed us. It wasn't even funny. We're two different classes. Notre Dame played us.
Yeah, that was.
We competed.
Yeah,
we competed. That's turnovers, to me. It's different.
Yep.
Alabama's it's just a better team than me, and it's going to be the most physical team that Notre Dame has ever seen. I mean, has seen. Period. This whole season, yeah. Alabama's line is physical. Their defense is physical. They're just physical.
I can't wait to see what the spread is because I fully expect.
Obviously, Alabama will be famous. I'll be favored, yeah. But
how much is the key?
Yes, the key. But let's move to the Heisman race on this Saturday. Teo versus Johnny Manziel to see who's gonna win the Heisman. Manti Te'o or Johnny Manziel. Johnny Football.
What about the dude from Kansas?
No, it don't matter. He's not in the race.
He's not even.
He's there.
He's just there.
He'll be there. No, I mean, it's cool. I mean, Klein is cool. You talking about Klein?
Yeah.
Klein is cool.
Okay.
But it's Manti Te'o.
You didn't even mention him.
No, he's irrelevant.
Okay.
It's like honorable mention.
They got to have at least three people there.
Yeah, you got to have three. Honorable mention.
Doc Walker said you should be able to not give it to somebody in a year because this has been probably the weakest Heisman.
It is. It really is.
It's pretty weak.
It is. But, I mean, who do you think is going to get it and who do you think deserves to get it? Those are two separate questions, actually. Because you know who you think should get it could be different than who you think deserves it.
I think Johnny Football deserves to get it, but I'm thinking they're gonna give it to.
So we're opposite right now.
So you think Tail deserves?
Tail deserves to get it, but they're gonna give it to Johnny Manziel because all right, Johnny Manziel, his claim to fame is he beat Nebraska. I mean, I'm Alabama, which is cool. He did. He beat Alabama. Yeah. That was a big one because everybody thought he was going. No one thought he was gonna win that game, right. And he won. So that propelled him to Heisman. But if you look at what Manti Te'o has done the whole season, he's a linebacker. He's a middle linebacker that was tied for the nation in interceptions. If you watch him in games, the dude makes plays. USC, that game in USC where USC with that goal line stand, he was main corporate knocking people down, making sure they didn't get in that end zone. Like the dude is a beast. And to me, like and I always do this for Heisman players. I hate that a Heisman goes to a non-NFL player, meaning that, you know, they're gimmicky.
Yeah.
Manti Te'o is a all-pro middle linebacker in the NFL. Like, he's going to be an all-pro. He's Samoan.
Yeah.
You know, Junior Seau type-ish. You know what I mean? So, it's like, the dude is a beast. I think he deserves it. Now, do I think he'll get it? No. Because it's funny, because I think Johnny Football will get it. But I started, you know, initially, I started thinking, like, Johnny Football deserves it. You know, and it's going to get it. But after hearing arguments and then, like, thinking to myself, like, you know, Tao's really been doing on probably arguably the best defense. You know what I mean? I think as fans and as the media, too, we all look at, like, the quarterback position. It's fancy, and it's like, oh, yeah, he deserves it because he's had a great game. He has good stats. But, you know, a defensive player like a Manti Te'o, like, that dude is a dog, but he's playing linebacker. You can't give it to a linebacker. You know what I mean? Like, that's what you think. But a dude, once to me in my mind, like, he was up there in the nation interceptions. Yeah, that's a problem.
Well, if there's any going to be ever a year where a linebacker can win it, it'd be this year.
It'd be this year.
And you make great points. I'll give you that.
Anyway, yes, it's time for another commercial break. When we get back, you already heard the Wizards beat the Heat. I'm stunned. Wow. I wrote an outline for basically gear for them to lose, and they won. So I'm obviously got to do a remix. So we'll talk about that after the break. Urban Sports Scene on Eyes Radio. You dig?
My life is full of statistics. Thing is, I could have dropped out of school and become one myself, but I didn't because I had people that believed in me. Here's another statistic. 7,000 students drop out every school day. That's one every 26 seconds. It's time that students know that we believe in them.
Inspire a student and share your message of support at boostup.org.
It's the Urban Sports Scene on Eyes Radio. Wizards beat King James. Not really prepared to go in detail with it, but I will say this. It just shows what the Wizards can do. Could you imagine if they had John Wall, a healthy John Wall?
Huh? What does that mean? That they're going to win? I mean, come on, it's a fluke game. What are you saying there?
Maybe if they had a healthy John Wall, they could be a playoff contender. I mean, getting the HC in the Eastern Conference is that hard, Sam.
I'm not going that hard.
HC in the Eastern Conference is that hard? John, how important? They're 2-13 or 14 or 15? Like, how important?
This is the second game they won, right?
Second. That shows how important is they can be a Heat team. Like, how important is John Wall to this franchise now? I mean, when you look at
I want to know where the Heat were last night because I guarantee.
Oh, and, you know, you saw a couple of the, like, they were out. Because LeBron James had a little joint. Like, they had, like, a flyer. I saw LeBron James hosting a party.
Hey, you know it.
It's Chocolate City, man. You know, this city is the devil. RG3, Black Jesus. Don't fall afraid of this city.
No, he won't.
Yeah, you're just too good. But, yeah. I think John Wall is important to the franchise. I think John Wall is healthy. A healthy John Wall.
He's very important.
It makes this team an eighth seed.
We'll see.
You know what I mean?
I'm not going to.
No, they're not
AFC
now. It's too late
I
now.
I know when he come back. We'll see how well they play.
Oh, okay.
When he come back, by the way, you know?
He was supposed to come back in November. Okay. I think they're doing him right, man. You saw what happened to Gilbert. Man, if he needs to miss the whole season, let him miss the whole season. You 2-15, 2-14, what you going to do? Like, seriously, what you going to do? He don't need to come back. It ain't that serious. Man. Like Derrick Rose in Chicago, it ain't that serious. Yep. For real, really isn't. Anyway, let's stop talking. I'm done with the Wizards. There's trouble in La La Land. I think the Lakers are about to beat the Houston Rockets. But a couple nights ago, Dwight Howard fell to the Magic. I thought it was hilarious. He lost to the Magic.
Yeah,
I thought that was so comical.
What happened?
That's all.
What's happening? What's going on?
What's going on? I mean, Kobe calling out Powell. It's just it's amazing right now. But
that too.
Well, if you had to point your finger, what's the problem in LA? Like they got the coach they wanted, and they still suck.
Well, I think they got the coach they wanted, but was it the coach they needed?
There you go.
You know, I think that's the magic question right there. You know, I was Steve Nash still ain't back, right?
Yeah.
That's
the real test. I'm with you. I know what you're going.
You need, because with his
you
system,
judge
you need
it with Steve Nash.
Yeah,
with Steve Nash.
So I'm not writing him off yet. We all know how Kobe is when he doesn't win. You know, he's a jerk. He pouts.
He pouts like a little girl.
He always has to have all the attention when it comes to winning. And yeah, so he's definitely a sore loser.
So you're saying that we can't judge a turnaround until Steve Nash comes back.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Okay, I'm with you on that one. Let's move on. The Grizzlies, they're up right now against the Suns in overtime, but they have the best record in the league right now. How good are the Memphis Grizzlies?
They're very, very, very good. I actually said they're the best. When they played OKC earlier and I saw what they did, I said they're the best team, and I'm willing to say that right now. They are the best team. They're already good. Rudy Gay is having all-star year. This is his best year by far.
Do you think he's reached his max potential?
No, I think
he's so much better than what he even shows right now.
Yeah, I don't think so at all. I think that he's a top five player. He is skill wise. He's, you know what I'm saying. If you know, with him stepping up, they have the two beasts down low with Gasol and Rudolph. I mean, it's watching the commercial, the Geiger commercial with the analogs remind me of Rudolph. But anyway, so yeah, I think they are the truth.
So I mean, I agree with you. I think
best
team.
I'm saying best team in the
NBA.
In the West,
I think the team has a good chance to get.
I'm still
to the
saying.
NBA
I'm
finals,
still
though.
Saying he is the best team in the league. But I'm saying Memphis is behind it right now.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think the Heat. Well,
and I'm a Thundercat.
I know. I think that the Heat. Arguably are the best team. Losing Wizards, definitely. I'm sorry. I don't care how. I know people, they loaf in the regular. I think if you loaf, you can still
win.
Come
on, man. We all know they was out in Park or wherever all night
partying. My point, I think if you party, you still can beat the Wizards. They're serious. It's the Wizards saying, we ain't talking about, like, some real team. Like, you know what I mean? We're talking about the Wizards. Like, I feel like I can party. I can go with Earl, the Parker, like, Earl before the game. Eyes can be red. Hey. But at least the second half, I'm turning on and I'm beating the Wizards. It's the Wizards. All right, real talk is the Wizards. So I'm going to go.
It's on RG3.
So off
that
alone, I know RG3 was there in the building. There's so much one man can bless you with. It's the Wizards. But anyway, just off that alone, I'm going to go with the Grizzlies, you know, as the best team in the NBA right now. And I do think they're a viable contender to win the championship.
The whole thing,
viable
definitely.
Contender.
No doubt
so
about it, man.
I can see the Memphis Grizzlies doing it. Yep. I think Lyle Hollins has done an excellent job coaching that team up. And they're just deep.
Coach.
They're very deep. But it's about that time right now. I'm dropping that music. Time to go hard in the paint. My man Sam, I don't know if you want to participate in this segment.
What is
it? It's usually when you pick a player in the NBA to go hard to paint, like a player for the week to get out in the week, like to show his skills. Don't worry about it. You don't got to do it. I got it.
Right.
Anyway, my selection is Evan Turner. Evan Turner is averaging 14, 7, and 5 assists tonight. They lost against the Timberwolves. He had 19 points, 5 believe, 5 boards and 2 assists, and 2 assists, or it might be 19, 5 assists and 2 rebounds. Either or, it's close enough. Evan Turner was going hard in the paint. I think this kid's on the come up. This kid can be a star. He just needs to reach his. He needs to understand that he's actually an all world ball player who can do it all. So Evan Turner is my pick to go hard in the paint. Show. I think the show is about to be. It's about to be a wrap. It's a long show, but before we wrap it up, let me give you some little information. Make sure you check us out on the Eyes Radio Network, which is www.eyesradio.com. To listen to the show on our official website, just visit us at www.walio.podbean.com. We're also on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. And if you have any questions or comments, just email us at urbansports@eyesradio.com. Again, this was a fantastic show. I had my homie Sam, one of my homeboys for life. Appreciate him coming on the show.
Anytime, bro.
You know what I mean? He's tired. Why is he tired? I don't know.
But I'm just tired. Leaning, man. I'm just, you know.
He's leaning. He's leaning like a G. But anyway, appreciate y'all for showing us the love. Urban Sports Scene, back at it. We're going to keep doing it big. Keep supporting us. God bless y'all. God bless RG3. God bless America. And also, RIP Rick Majerus. One of the best coaches I've ever seen.
Man.
RIP Rick Majerus.
Definitely.
I feel bad for not really giving you a shout out for the end of the show, but RIP Rick Majerus, one of the best coaches I've seen growing up watching college basketball. And, you know, I saw you coach Van Horn, Andre Miller, Doliak. The list goes on and on. You were a great coach. You'll be missed. You were a teacher of the game. RIP to you. Take it easy. Holler at y'all.
Peace.